Please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 31. And while you're doing that, that'll give me an opportunity to say hello to those of you who are friends, neighbors, fellow believers, travelers, shut-ins, listening into our website, or watching us on our YouTube channel. We welcome you to worship here with us at First Baptist Burton, Texas. Psalm 31, let's back up to 13. For I heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Now look at verse 15. My times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let them not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. My times are in thy hand. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. So begins the classic book, A Tale of Two Cities, by Charles Dickens. You didn't think people from East Texas read classics, did you? It was set during the French Revolution and was a contrast and a comparison between the two cities of London and Paris, and how at the same time period there was a complete paradox existing between two groups of people. Welcome to life in 2021. During the Marxist revolution that's taking place in America, and the charismatic perversion of worship and grace, the Bible translation perversion of faith, and the emergent perversion of church that's taking place today in the church in America. And all are dancing at the end of the strings of the devil as the spirit of Antichrist invades every aspect of our culture. And it's going to continue to increase until the Tower of Babel and the Tower of Babel world unites at the Tower of Utopia that's being built today, which will usher in the age of tribulation with a man of sin, the person of the Antichrist, sitting on a temporary 7-year throne. Everything is moving in that direction. And everything appears to be falling into place as the Holy Spirit withdraws the restraint of evil through a weakened and compromised church that is quickly falling away from the truth and from the authority of God's word. But for the faithful remnant, the temptation, though, is to slip into a winter of despair. No longer is the world that we live in open to the gospel. No longer do businesses close on Sunday. No longer does there exist even a surface morality in the culture that we find ourselves in. A respect for the church, a respect for God's people and God's laws. It's all being undermined. But it should never keep us from engaging with the gospel, our communities that we find ourselves living in, and committing our service to the Lord through the church. What we should be doing instead of what the church has always done, regardless of the times, evangelize the lost, bring the evangelized into the fellowship of the church, and disciple with the word of God those who have been brought into the church. And then we're to worship the Lord publicly and weekly in spirit and in truth, and serve the Lord through the ministry of loving our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, these times should be the spring of hope for the saved, while it's a winter of despair for the lost, with the prayer that the severity of the despair and the fear that the lost is going through would drive them to Jesus Christ and to the truth of God's word. The rapture of the church has not yet taken place. So we still are in the times of the church and grace. The voice of the church may be weak because of apostasy, but it's still a voice. Those who have ears to hear can still hear. Do not give in to the hopelessness that is in the world. Don't get caught up in complaining about the way things are. God has everything in His hand. Quit griping and complaining about what's going on, and take advantage spiritually with what's going on. Folks are in despair. They're afraid to even look at the news, and when they do, they're upset and worried for a week. We shouldn't be that way. Look over with me a few books to the right to Daniel, the book of Daniel. Boy, if anybody should be in despair, it's Daniel. He was placed into a foreign culture, an anti-God culture. Everything that he knew, everything that was comfortable, was gone. Sort of like going away to college. And you're suddenly challenged with all the things that you have been taught and believed. Those beliefs are challenged now. And there's this temptation to give in to the peer pressure that's going on around you. But Daniel stood firm in his biblical convictions that he were taught. And in chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel said this. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons." Now, do you see that? He changes the times and the seasons. So be careful of how you complain and gripe about the times and the seasons. He changes it. Remember, our times is in His hand. Remember, He's still seated on a throne. A throne of power, a throne of authority. There's nothing that's happening that's outside of his control and outside of his allowable providence. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to understand it. And it's altogether another thing to know how to use knowledge, which is called wisdom. We've got knowledge at our fingertips, and we're the dumbest generation in world history. Because we don't know what to do with all the knowledge. We lack the understanding. And just as the tribe of Issachar in David's day were given the ability to understand the times, to know what Israel should do, we have the Word of God and the author of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to give us an understanding of the times and what we as a church ought to be doing. Verse 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Here in Daniel, the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed. The house of God. They said it would never happen. It did. The nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, which had been divided since the days of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, were now destroyed. The northern 10 tribes of Israel was carried into captivity by Assyria, never to return until 1948. The southern 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin lasted another 100+ years, and they were carried away to Babylon into 70 years of slavery and servitude. Their country had been destroyed, and they never thought it would. God's people, a remnant left from the judgment of a people who named the name of God, but they turned away from God and rebelled against His word and said, we have a better way of living life. We have a different way than you do. And God judged them for that. And so this remnant that's in Babylon, where that Tower of Babel was in Genesis 11, where it all started after the judgment of the flood and the judgment of the tower, where it all started with Abraham the Hebrew. And Israel is right back where it started, just like in the wilderness, when after the failure to follow the leading of God and the word of God to go into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, they rebelled and turned back. So he sent them back on a 40-year circle back to Mount Sinai where it began. The covenant began. And now they're back in Babylon to start all over again. The influence of Israel to the world had come to an end. And the times of the Gentiles had begun. For the lost, this is the times of the Gentiles. Gentiles not only refer to non-Jews, but it's a reference to people who were outside of a covenant relationship with God. So that times have continued until where we are right now. So first of all, I want you to see, for the lost, this is the worst of times. This is the times of the Gentiles. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. The Lord is teaching his disciples about what's going to be taking place during the tribulation period prior to his second coming. In verse 24, he says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." When is the times of the Gentiles going to be fulfilled? When Jesus Christ comes and sits on the throne in Jerusalem and reigns for 1,000 years. The times of the Gentiles are characterized by military and economic might and power. First Babylon, then came the Persian Empire, then Greece, and then finally the Roman Empire, which ushered in the times of the first coming of Jesus Christ and of the New Testament and the New Covenant. The control of the Gentiles continues. Even after the first coming of Jesus Christ to set up a spiritual kingdom, the times of the Gentiles continued. But then as their influence began to be endangered by the church, they created their own church, they created their own Bible, and they continued then the control of the nations in a modified Roman Empire with a Greek Gnostic philosophy that they followed. The Caesar became Pope. But then soon after, that empire broke up by the Reformation. And the empire was broken up into nations with distinct nationalities and cultures. And by the grace of God, who displayed his power to the lost Gentile nations mired in human religious superstition and philosophy, atheism and poverty, he established a nation which became an exception to the norm. The Lord used our country to usher in and finance the Philadelphia age of the church with the open door to world evangelism. But now in Laodicea, the door is closed to mass evangelism and is only open in pockets. When the lost powers of the world have done what they have continued to do since the flood and since the Tower of Babel, it's always the same. And it does not prevent God from working in and through his people. Unless we shut off the connection to his power by not applying faith in these words and quenching the power of the Holy Spirit that he placed inside of us at salvation. And therein lies the challenge. Otherwise, for the saved, this is the best of times. It is for the saved the last times that the Bible describes. What are the last times? It's the time from the resurrection of Jesus Christ until the rapture, the taking away of the church, as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These are the last times, not just the last 10 years since the resurrection. Look with me at 1 John, right before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15, he warns us not to love the world. The world system, the world power structure that's under the operation of Satan. Satan has dominion that he secured from Adam. That dominion was offered to Jesus Christ in the wilderness if he would bow down and worship him. And Jesus said no. But one day soon, the usurper is going to be cast out. And Jesus Christ will come and set up his kingdom. And the nations of this world will become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. If you want to find three characteristics of the times of the Gentiles, it's the lust of the flesh, it's the lust of the eyes, covetousness, things, places, positions, and the pride of life once you've achieved that. Verse 17, the problem with all that is the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, keep reading. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. Verse 20 says, but you have an unction. That's an important word. Unction. Means more than just simply an anointing. What does it mean? You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. An unction is a discernment from the Holy Spirit inside of you as your faith comes in contact with His words. Chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. That's the opposition that's behind what you're hearing and seeing. Go back to the left to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. In verse 19, he talked about our redemption. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. These are the best of times, even though they're the last times, because during the last times, the presence of Jesus Christ is being manifested by the Holy Spirit as never before. As the lost move away from an outward sense of morality and the foundations of constitutional government, marriage, the home, the outward church, as those foundations continue to erode, there becomes a clear distinction and difference forming between the lost and the saved. For the lost, it's the worst of times. But please realize this morning, child of God, for us, it is the best of times. Keep the foundations of God firm in your life. Marriage, the home, the church, God's word, faith, prayer, worship, both private, family, and public. Fellowship with God's people, the church, and service and ministry to the Lord. Keep those foundations firm in your life, regardless of what's happening around you. Don't allow circumstances around you and even the circumstances that affect your life to affect your service and devotion to the Lord. The Lord gives us an understanding of the times through His Word to know what we ought to do. Don't give in to the despair and fear of the lost world. Stand still and see the power of God. Stand still and watch God work in your life to where when He's finished, everybody will say, man, only God could have done that. Allow yourself to be placed into that position. Allow yourself to move out into the deep, to where your feet are not comfortably firm on ground. Step out on a much more solid foundation of faith and absolute dependence and trust in the Lord. And watch Him move in your life. Stand still and see the blessed hope that comes from the high calling of Jesus Christ our Lord. My times are in His hand. My life is in His hand. My health is in His hands. My finances are in His hands. My family is in His hands. And my situation is in His hands. I close with this verse in 2 Peter. It said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him. Be diligent. That means if you're not, you're going to float downstream with the Laodicean apathy that's going on in the church. We have to swim upstream to stay in Philadelphia. Be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace. When you find yourself losing the peace, you haven't lost it. When you find yourself losing the joy, you haven't lost it. You've walked away from it. Peace and joy, faith, grace, all comes with salvation. We have it as eternal gifts from God that He never takes back. But we can allow circumstances to rob us of that peace and joy by giving in to the fear, giving in to the worry. Don't you do it. That we may be found of Him in peace. Turbulent, changing times doesn't matter for a Christian, because we find our stability and peace not in the times, but in Him. And be found in Him in peace, without spot. And that's our text in James chapter 1, is it not? Minister to the widows, to the orphans. And as we minister, keep ourselves unspotted, uninfluenced, undefiled from the world. We're to be the influence, not them to us. That we may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That's the strength of our testimony. When people see in us something different than they see in the world. When the world is fearful, worried, and coming apart at the seams, they ought to see in us peace and joy and stability as we worship and fellowship with the Lord and with His people, doing the Word, not just hearing it. The best of times, the worst are times. The worst of times is where we find ourselves in. How are we going to respond? Father, we thank You this morning that You have placed us in exciting times to where it's totally hopeless except through You. Lord, the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing. But Lord, in this time of rage, Lord, may there be a calm. May there be a calm assurance of peace that You have everything under control. And may our life be governed by You and by Your Word, not by our opinions and definitely not the opinions of the world. Help us to stand steadfast in a time of change. Lord, help us to stand steadfast in Your unchangeable Word that we can place all of our faith in, all of our trust in, and step out on the surest foundation that has ever been laid before us. I pray for our church that You would strengthen us, that You would help us to be an influence of salt and light in a community and in a world of darkness that are caught up in the affairs of this world and in love of this world and have failed to see the eternal things. I pray, Lord, the turbulence of the times would cause them to seek out the truth and to seek out the reality of Your presence. I pray for those that are lost, that's never been born again. Lord, give them eyes to see and ears to hear and move and stir their hearts to recognize and see their desperate condition before You. Before it's too late. Lord, may they turn to You away in repentance from their sin and toward You. Draw them, Lord, to the cross and apply the work done there to them. And I pray right now they'd open their hearts and receive You as Savior. Lord, I pray for Your people. You would also open our eyes from gazing and being fixed on the world to gazing and being fixed upon You high and lifted up on a throne. May we see You as Isaiah saw You. And Lord, may it change our focus and the bent of our lives to say with Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. And may we go into a lost, dark community with the light of Your Word and the Gospel. May we live our lives before the world. And may we not be ashamed to be associated with the name, above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for these that have come this morning. I pray they have come in contact with Your presence through Your Word. Now, Lord, would You plant that Word deeply into our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed.